I would like to welcome you to another edition of The More Abundant Life, a radio broadcast which features inspiring messages by Pastor Wendley Phipps. My name is Adrian Westney Jr. I'm your host for today's program and very pleased to be so. Today we have program number 163 in our series. It's a message that Pastor Phipps presented to the Seabrook Church on Christmas Day of 1999, so it's one that's going to be a little bit unusual for our broadcast today. You may be hearing this message on a day that's not Christmas, but we believe that the message is going to be beneficial to you anyway. So, we're going to hear from Pastor Phipps as he speaks on the title, That Night. So, we invite you to stay with us today for our program. This very intriguing title, we're sure, is going to be a blessing to you. Our message will begin after we hear our usual very special music, a song entitled today, Go Tell It on the Mountain.
And teach a while. I ask that you'd pray for me. Since the world began, there has never been a night quite like that night. A night when a lowly manger became the object of God's concern and care. A night when a cattle stall became the capital of a new commonwealth of God's amazing grace. The events of that night still, even today, provide perennial inspiration to a world in sin and darkness. Every detail of that night has earned its place in our affections as either folklore or fact. It is a night without parallel. Young and old, our hearts thrill when we contemplate the arrival of angels singing their glory song. Like little children, we who have heard it before still delight to hear it again. Angelic hosts broadcasting the glad tidings that a Savior is born. That night over the plains of Bethlehem, as the Spirit of God brooded over the darkness of our world, the scriptures tell us that, lo, the angel of the Lord came upon shepherds abiding in the field. And the angel said unto them, "Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy." And then suddenly, the scriptures tell us the earth was hushed. All nature grew still. The plains round about lit up with the bright shining of the host of God. And then suddenly, like the swell of a grand symphonic chorus, music came from every corner of the sky. Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace and goodwill toward men. My heart thrills when I realize that that night shepherds heard music that had been rehearsed on a faraway crystal sea. And I love good music. What it's going to be like to hear music in glory. The other day, I was talking to a friend about the kind of stereo to buy. And I bought a stereo the other day, and one of the features it offered was simulated surround sound. I want you to know that God invented surround sound. Sony and JVC are just simulating it. That night, the shepherds heard heavenly music in surround sound. Glory to God in the highest. It was heard coming from everywhere. That night, those shepherds watching their sheep became unlikely heralds of the most important announcement of the ages. A Savior was born. But today, for the next few moments, I want you to come with me far away from Bethlehem, far away from the glory of that night, hundreds of miles away in a foreign land, in some far-off kingdom. God was moving on the hearts of a group of magis, or better translated, wise men. Now, these men were men of faith and vision. They were probably more than just three of them, probably because of the record of the three gifts of gold and frankincense and myrrh. We in central recasting, don't miss that. We in central recasting find it convenient to say they were three wise men because of the gold, frankincense, and myrrh. But scholars believe that it was probably more wise men than just three. We just find it convenient to say three. That night is, and by the way, there are going to be a few so-called Christmas facts that you're going to have to throw away this morning. Amen. That night, as these wise men sat gazing into the mysteries of the heavens, they stood transfixed at the appearance of a new star they had never seen before.
That's right.
Now, I read and searched for some record of the origins of these wise men. And as I perused through the chronicles of history, I came upon an assumption held by some historians. It is their studied view that after the fall of the kingdom of the Medes and Persians, that the Medes tried through military means to seize control of the entire empire, but they were unsuccessful. And they failed. So because of this, they chose, their leaders chose to become scholars instead of politicians. They channeled their talents into becoming the leading authorities of their time. So these men of Medes became the experts in medicine, philosophy, religion, and astrology. They dedicated themselves to understanding the mysteries of nature because they were always searching and questioning and learning. They devoted their lives to study and research and remained open to new truths, new ideas. And because of this, they were called magi or wise men. These wise men studied the details of the heavens. They knew that what they were looking at was not a planet. It was not a fixed star. As a matter of fact, that's why I read Ellen White's writings. The servant of the Lord tells us that the light the shepherd saw was really a distant cluster of flaming angels that looked like a star. These wise men, they had been astrologers and stargazers from their childhood. They studied the heavens with passion. That night, the appearance of this large, bright star they had never seen before intrigued them. They mapped out the sky. They knew where everything was. They knew their charts. But this star was a cosmic phenomenon, the likes of which they had never seen before. So they consulted with other priests and philosophers. I'm going to try to teach a little this morning. They searched the ancient scrolls for some prophecy, some word that foretold the coming of such a star. And it is believed that one of the wise men remembered studying the prophecy of Balaam. You know, you remember Balaam, the one who tried to curse the children of Israel on behalf of Balak. You know, you remember Balaam and how God used the donkey he was riding on to speak to him and save his life. You remember Balaam riding on the donkey the angel God sent to stop him? Said, stop kicking that donkey. You better thank God for that donkey. For had you come any further, I would have taken your life, said the angel. That donkey saved your life. Well, Balaam, brothers and sisters, had given a prophecy. And you can find it in Numbers. If you have your Bibles, go to the book of Numbers and let's read the prophecy of Balaam that was probably the anchor for those wise men. When they saw the star, they searched. Where did this star come from? Has anyone foretold this star? And then they went to Numbers 24:15, and it says, and he took up his parable and said, Balaam, the son of Beor, hath said, and the man whose eyes are open hath said, Balaam, Numbers chapter 24, verse 16, he hath said, which heard the words of God and knew the knowledge of the Most High, which saw the vision of the Almighty falling into a trance, but having his eyes open. And verse 17, I shall see him, but not now. I shall behold him, but not nigh. There shall come a star. Oh Lord. This is Balaam's prophecy. Out of Jacob, and a scepter shall rise out of Israel. Brothers and sisters, this was the prophecy in Balaam. Look at verse 19. Out of Jacob shall come he that shall have dominion. Amen. Woo, thank you, Jesus. Those wise men began to ask themselves, could this strange star be the fulfillment of Balaam's prophecy? Could this be the star that shall come out of Israel? Serving the Lord tells us in the book Desire of Ages that while they slept that night through dreams in a vision, those wise men were instructed by God that they were to go in search of the newborn prince. So the Holy Spirit spoke to those heathens. What a God we serve. They woke up that next morning confident that they were bound for an audience with the king. And as they traveled, they noticed that the star only shone at night. So to keep the star in view, they had to travel hundreds of miles only by night. They were men of faith and vision. Somewhere I read that vision is the world's most desperate need. Somewhere I read, there is no vision. Where there is no vision, people perish. These wise men were men of faith and vision. It was Peter Marshall who once said, a shared vision is not an idea. It is a force in people's hearts, a force of impressive power. These wise men shared a vision that a Messiah had come. These men were men of faith and vision. One day, Michelangelo saw a block of marble which its owner had cast aside as having no value. Michelangelo said, no, don't throw it away. Give it to me. There is an angel imprisoned in it, and I must set him free. Michelangelo was a man of vision. Those wise men were men of faith and vision. Like Jonathan Swift said, they could look farther than they could see. Vision is what makes you rise above the low plains of mediocrity. It makes you scale the mountain's height. Vision is what keeps you an original in a world of copies and facsimiles. Vision is what makes you take the road less traveled and makes you march to the beat of a different drummer. Vision is the spark of divinity that turns over the engine of new possibilities in your life. These were men of vision. Vision is an idea downloaded from the mind of God to the mind of man. Those men of vision followed a star. When you follow the star God has placed in your night sky, your efforts will not be in vain. As those three wise men traveled through the night, they rehearsed the prophecies. Can you imagine? When they paused for rest, they would be studying the scriptures. Servant Lord tells us that while they had the star before them, they also had the inward evidence of the Holy Spirit. And because they had the Holy Spirit, that long journey was a happy journey. Because when you got the Spirit of God with you, hallelujah, long journeys turned to happy journeys. And they reached Jerusalem. The star they had been following rested above the temple. And then all of a sudden, it faded away. They ran to the temple where the star had been, expecting everybody to be ecstatic over the good news that a Savior was born. Instead, to their surprise, no one in the temple had ever heard of Jesus. The folks in the church didn't know he had come. They had crossed a desert to find the Savior, only to find that those who lived across the street didn't know he had come. The wise men said to the Jews, have you read your own scriptures? A Savior has been born. And as the people listened to the testimony of the wise men, they became jealous and afraid. They were afraid that possibly a Messiah had come without them properly welcoming him. They were afraid and jealous that these heathen wise men were interpreting the scriptures more accurately than they had. Yes. Have mercy. Yes. Heathens. Wiser. Where can we find the newborn king? Said the wise man. Does anyone know where he is? For weeks we've been following his star in the sky. It's led us here to Jerusalem. We've come to worship him. No one knew where to find Jesus. When the news of the arrival of the wise men reached Herod, he told the palace guards, bring the teachers. Bring those wise men. And he questioned them about their purpose and their journey. And listen carefully, he questioned them about the timing of the arrival of that first sighting of the star. And then Herod said, go to Bethlehem and search for the young child. When you find him, stop by my place on your way back. And then Matthew 2:10, when they saw the star, they rejoiced with exceeding great joy. And in Matthew 2:11, and when they were come into what?
The house.
Look it up. Matthew 2, verse 11. And when they were come into the house, they saw the young child with Mary, his mother, and fell down and what?
Worshipped
him. Now, When those wise men worshiped at Jesus' feet, Jesus was probably about 1 year old. So those Christmas pageants that show the wise men showing up the very night that Jesus was born are convenient, but they're not accurate. You see, the first appearance of the star in Scripture was on the night Jesus was born. So to get to the stable with the shepherds at the same time, those wise men would have had to charter the Concorde. That's why Matthew 2:11 says, and when they were come, they did not come to the manger. They came to where? The house where Jesus was living. It's nice to know the truth, isn't it? Amen. I know somebody's heart is broken right about now. The wise men arrived. They came to see him in the house. And that's the reason when Herod sent his palace guards to kill the babies, he said, kill those who are 2 years old and under, because he's been born for a while. It may be more concise to put the shepherds and the wise men together, but it probably isn't very accurate. Oh, I hate to be the bearer of bad tidings this morning, but the truth is the truth. Amen. It's nice to have it straight. And while I'm on this point, let me also say we celebrate the birth of Jesus on this day, but we really don't know which day Jesus was born. I called up TWA last night. And I said, please tell me the temperature today in Tel Aviv. Tel Aviv has about the same temperature as Atlanta, Georgia. And it was probably not very likely that, and it could get really cold there. It's not very likely that the shepherds were sitting out in the field in this kind of weather. Shivering, minding sheep. Listen to what the servant of the Lord says. She says, it is supposed that Christ was born on the 25th day of December. And for that reason, it is celebrated as his birthday. But it is impossible for us to know what day he was born. The reason God has not revealed that fact is because we would worship the day. Somebody said, we're doing it now. And we're not sure. The 25th of December, she said, is supposed to be the day of the birth of Christ. Its observance has become customary and popular. And yet there is no certainty that we are keeping the very day of our Savior's birth. History gives us no assurance of this. The Bible does not give us the precise time. Listen, had the Lord deemed this knowledge essential to our salvation, he would have spoken it through his prophets and through his apostles, so that you would know the matter. But the silence of the scriptures on this point is evidence that it is hidden from us for wise purposes. God has concealed the precise day, just like he didn't tell the children of Israel where Moses was buried. Because if they knew where Moses was buried, there'd be, you think that Jerusalem is all wrapped up in commercialism right now. They've got a church over every little anything. Somebody knew, said, this is where Jesus dropped his robe. So they put a church up. And then they charge you money to come see the place. So if they knew where Moses was buried, there'd be a city there. It looked like Las Vegas or something. But because we don't know the exact day, Thank God. God wanted us to give Christ the honor. But just because we don't know the exact day, and I'm going to teach just a little bit this morning, it doesn't mean that Christians are to be Scrooges. It doesn't mean that Adventists have to be Scrooges. Because you don't know, right? We don't know the exact day, so we're not going to celebrate nothing. We're going to run around shouting humbug. On Christmas Day, servant of God says, channel the children's desire for amusements in the right direction. So don't go home and let them just do anything today. It's God's Sabbath day too. Amen. They can wait 3 or 4 hours. Have mercy. During the Christmas season, it is right to bestow upon one another tokens of love. Ladies, I love this. I read this last night. The servant of the Lord said, we should make the gifts we give prove a real benefit to those who are receiving it. So ladies, some brothers can really benefit from a new tie. Some brothers can really benefit from a bottle of cologne. Amen. Nothing wrong with a Christmas tree in the church. Scriptures tell us that when the wise men entered the house, they saw the young child with Mary, his mother. They fell down and they worshiped. Wow. They worshiped at the feet of a baby king. Today, if you've given your heart to Christ, you ought to bring your gifts to him. Your gold, your silver, your precious earthly possessions, anything that you have, you ought to be willing this day to go before Christ and lay it there. Somebody said, what can I give thee, poor as I am? If I were a shepherd, I'd give thee a lamb. If I were a wise man, I would do my part. Oh, I know what I can give you. I'll give you my heart. This day, there is something you can give him. You may not have had a lot of money to give him, but this day, you can give him your heart.
That brings us to the end of the message for today, and I do want to thank Pastor Phipps for that very special message. If you would like to obtain a copy of today's message, which is program number 163 in our series, please call the Seabrook Church office at 301-577-6342. Ask again for program number 163. And until next time, this is Adrian Wesley Jr. Please remember the words of John 10, verse 10, where Jesus said, I came that you might have life, and that that life might be the more abundant life.
Give what's in your